98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Bickley and Marotta.
Social Studies. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to highestprice.com. That's highestprice.com.
Oh, it's time for the Social Studies with Sarah Cazell. When we dive into our Twitter account at Bickley underscore Marotta, see what's going on. What is going on, Sarah?
What is going on?
Sarah, what is going on?
Oh, that means he would have to acknowledge me. What's going on is that Kyler Murray is not showing up to work today, but it is voluntary OTAs this week, next week, and the following. Like I just mentioned in the update, but I'll reiterate, Adam Schefter reported about 10 minutes ago that Kyler Murray will not be present this week at Cardinals voluntary OTAs. He didn't say anything about next week or the following, so we're going to keep an eye on that. So with that news in mind, the first question that we have for social studies today, well, it was, how would you feel if Kyler Murray does not show up for voluntary OTAs? Now we're asking, how do you feel now that he has not shown up? Are you mad at Kyler? Are you mad at the team, or do you understand the situation both sides are in?
No, I actually don't understand the situation. Disappointed is not the right word. This is more ominous than anything else, is what it is to me. Like I said, I think this thing could have gone any number of ways. I don't think Kyler Murray's teammates will hold it against him. As I said early in the show, there's a code about that kind of stuff. And I do believe that there's a lot of people on the team who believes that he's done enough to warrant that extension that he wants. I hope this doesn't bode poorly for the future. That's the way I feel.
Yeah, that's the way to frame it right now. Is it on its own a big deal right now? Probably not. But then again, go back to everything that we were told leading into this period of the calendar for the Arizona Cardinals, and that was Kyler's finally going to have a full offseason. Well, he is punting on his first on his own opportunities to take advantage of a full offseason. Mm-hmm. He is a quarterback that's still in need of growth.
He was never the one who said, I need a full offseason. It was always some people around him.
No, so it's not a nothing. It's a little bit more than nothing right now. If this drags on, then it continues to get more important.
Are you going to be okay that when they ask, you know, Cliff or Keim about him not attending, they're going to be like, well, it's voluntary. We weren't expecting it.
What I expect.
Yeah.
Exactly what I expect.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be annoying, but what else would happen?
That's the NFL. That's the information game in the NFL.
I mean, they could say we'd like him to be here.
I don't know if they would, though.
They might say that, too. Hey, it's voluntary. We'd like him to be here, but it's voluntary, so we can't make him.
I don't know. We will find out later today.
Yeah.
So, again, how do you feel now that he is not showing up to OTAs, at least this week? Mad at Kyler, mad at the team, or understanding both sides? 51% of our voters see it from both sides. 42% are mad at the quarterback. 7% are mad at the Cardinals. I know.
I'm not shocked that half of the respondents see both sides, but the differential between who to point the fingers at is pretty telling there.
Yes, yeah, I completely agree.
And just another update, not on this, but a comparable thing. Deebo Samuel will not be at OTAs for the 49ers today.
Okay. Wookie.
Well, he's been a lot more steadfast in his desire to get traded, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Wookie says Kyler has not earned a pass on anything, even if OTAs are voluntary. Showing up would say something. Daryl Lee says ultimately Kyler Murray signed the contract. Honor what you signed or don't sign it. And then Matthew says, I don't show up to any voluntary work activities, so I can't be mad if Kyler doesn't.
Good great way to put it.
For having that choice, Matthew. Yes. Let's move on to our next question. Still tied into Kyler Murray, who is looking for his payday this summer, as is DeAndre Ayton with the Phoenix Suns. Both of them coming off of, shall we say, unfortunate playoff performances that don't exactly help their case. But who is coming off of a worse final game or performance for their respective teams? Is it Kyler Murray and how he played against the Rams or DeAndre Ayton in that last series against Dallas?
Well, listen, if you're going to take the series versus the game, I think the game Kyler Murray put forth was much more alarming to the eyes and probably much more damaging to the team.
Yeah.
Because without him playing really well, they were not going to have a chance.
Sure.
I put it this way. I'm in agreement. My vote would go to Kyler. He's the leader of the team. I mean, he's the quarterback. So he's the de facto leader. And again, nobody was good. Nobody was good for the Suns in Game 7. If DeAndre Ayton played well in Game 7, the Suns still lose by 20.
Yeah.
My vote's with Kyler.
Yeah. 73% of our voters went with Kyler Murray as well. 27% went with DeAndre Ayton. Russell Ream says Kyler Murray is a quitter. DeAndre Ayton just doesn't understand what he is, who he is. There's a difference. Neither is a superstar. Skilled, yes, but nothing I would root for. Wow, Russell Ream. Brian.
Really, yeah, reamed him.
Yeah, really did. Brian says Kyler was running for his life from the coin toss on. DA just refused to do anything. Okay, so this was a matter of effort, according to Brian. And then Desert Dirtbag says the fact that DeAndre Ayton needs someone to get him the ball while K1 always has the ball says Kyler had more control over those results.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Yes.
That's a good point, too.
Yes.
But he's also tied to what's called for him to do.
True. True. All right, let's move on to a Phoenix Suns question. Well, now looking at the Western Conference Finals, specifically between the Warriors and the Mavericks. If you're a Suns fan, that might not be very fun for you to watch. You might not be watching at all. Not only because you think the Suns should be there, but it's also not easy to watch as a Suns fan with a 3-0 lead for the Warriors. So what is your guys' internal monologue when you watch this Western Conference Finals? Four options to vote on. How in the world did the Suns lose to Dallas? Golden State would have beat the Suns in the Western Conference Finals. The Suns would have beaten Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. Or I can't watch this Warriors-Mavericks series. It is just too painful.
Wow. I'm either I'm A or D. There's both. I can't believe the Suns lost to the Mavericks, and I'm having a hard time watching the Warriors-Mavericks play. Yeah, both are true for me.
I'm more in category A. I've been able to watch. I shake my head when I watch, but a lot of it boils down to, I know how it happened. The Mavericks played really good basketball, but man, I don't think they're a very good basketball team.
No, it's
and I didn't
impressive.
Think so going into the series with the Suns, but you know, they're the team that's still alive.
So neither of you have that feeling of, well, even if the Suns won, they would have lost to Golden State.
That's probably the secondary thought that I have because, you know, had the Suns won Game 7, that was two series that were struggles that didn't need to be struggles if they played up to their potential. So I think they would have been, even with home court advantage, probably the underdog against Golden State,
mm-hmm.
just based on how they both teams had played.
50% of our voters went with that first option. How in the world did the Suns lose to the Mavs? 50% for that option. 24% said the Warriors would have beaten the Suns in the Western Conference Finals. 22% say they've checked out. They can't watch. It's too painful to watch. 4% say the Suns would have beaten the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. And our final question, why were we talking about arts and crafts at the beginning of today's show? Because it was the first day of school. Is that why?
No.
For voluntary OTAs?
I can't remember.
I don't remember why either. And usually I ask you, but I forgot to do that too.
Because I brought it up about first day of school feel.
Oh, so it was with voluntary
and
OTAs.
Yeah. And macaroni on plate.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Construction paper.
Jarrett wrote the question and doesn't remember why.
Kid safe scissors that aren't sharp at all.
They cut nothing.
The round
cut
scissors.
Nothing.
Yeah.
The purple glittery glue sticks.
Right.
A favorite of mine.
Delicious.
Oh, popsicle sticks, yes. Okay.
Did you ever just put Elmer's glue all over your hands and then just peel it off?
Oh, you're one of those!
One time in grade school, there's this dude named Bob Reynolds that I went to school with. Somebody played the most vicious trick on him.
Oh, Bob.
It was painting time, and they brought out all these neon paints, and somebody went to where his jar of paint was and unscrewed the thing. So he went to shake it, and it just blew him up.
Poor Bob!
Oh, poor Bob.
Why were you picking on Bob?
I didn't do it.
Why
I
were
did
they
laugh my backside off.
Oh, Painty Bob.
Bob Reynolds.
Yeah, Bob Reynolds.
Still plotting. Not Bob Ross.
Pink yeah,
Bob
neon Ross. Paint.
Bob Ross would have known to check the lead
right.
on a paint.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, poor Bob Reynolds. So we are asking, what is your favorite or what was your favorite arts and crafts activity to do as a kid, be it at school or at camp? I don't think we have time to really get into it, though, because we've got the Rick Riley coming
yeah,
up next.
My buddy.
Woo! So we'll revisit that potentially okay. later. You can always scroll on Twitter at Bickley_Murata.
All right. And we will have more talk on Kyler Murray not reporting to OTAs coming up later in the hour. But as Sarah said, thank you, Sarah, the author of the new book, So Help Me Golf, the one and only Rick Riley, joins us next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata. Dan Bickley and Vince Murata. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh, for the golf lover in your life, a new book they can add to their collection
yeah.
from the one and only Rick Riley. The book, So Help Me Golf. And Rick Riley joins us right now to talk about it here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Rick, good morning. How are you?
Does it make you feel better to see the Mavericks turn ice cold?
No, oh, it makes yeah. me feel worse.
Hey, hey, thanks for that, Rick.
Yeah, hey, Riles, before we get Riles, before we get started, do you remember the night back in the day in Cleveland when we were partying in the flats and we saw that dead body pulled from the river? Do you remember that night?
Dan, who forgets a night when they pull a dead guy out of the river? I mean, how many dead guys do you think I've seen? Jesus Christ. I'll never forget it. Oh, he came out like he was huge.
Yes.
He looked like Chris Christie or something. It was terrible.
That was unbelievable. And the thing about that story that was unbelievable, Vinny, Riles, during his illustrious journalistic career, he had this ability to get behind the ropes. Like, you'd be at a Super Bowl, and all the journalists would be here, and there would be Rick standing over there with the players, and we go, how in the heck did he get there? He had this magic to make himself invisible, and he did it that night.
Such
he just walked by yes, he walked by all these fire personnel and police, and he's right next to the dead body.
Oh, I know, that was nuts. And also, do you remember when Tyson fought Lennox Lewis, and he was saying before the fight, I'm gonna eat your kids, and he was just a maniac? And
yes,
and then he got knocked out right, and somehow I got right on ringside next to Donald Trump. And the
wow,
he knocked out, and he was like, his eyes were a million miles away, and he was searching for his mouthpiece. Remember?
Yes.
And they counted him out, and somehow I was the first guy in the locker room before anybody, and it was just Tyson in there, and they'd cut his gloves, and he was holding his little 6-week-old baby, and I'm like, somebody needs to get child services.
Yeah. Oh, great stuff. All right, let's you were at the PGA yesterday. All right.
No.
I want to ask you.
No, I'm on book tour.
Oh, you're on book tour. Okay, well, you were engaged with. Okay,
you know, it's sweeping the nation.
Right, exactly. The PGA Championship, getting JT to win is a big deal, but the Phil Mickelson story is everywhere. The Tiger Woods story is everywhere, and it really speaks to the need that golf needs an alpha male to kind of to dominate, to give somebody to chase. Your thoughts on the state of all of that, especially regarding Phil Mickelson?
Well, first of all, I've known Phil for about 30 years, and he always says dumb crap. He's a great guy, but he says dumb crap, and he says it out loud. And it seemed to me the way he was talking in that book was how he talks when he thinks he's off the record. So I don't know whose fault that was, but he clearly thought he was off the record and saying his usual dumb crap. Like, one time he says to us all, are we guys wearing sunblock? And we're like, yeah. And he goes, well, sunblock's worse for you than sun on your skin. The sunblock is going to give you cancer. We're like, no, that's really stupid. And then remember when he said, I'm not fat. My fat is subcutaneous. And I'm like, everybody's fat is subcutaneous. Shut up. So he's really great. He tips, like, he comes to my club in L.A., carries his own bag, but he takes a caddy to get reeds and stuff, and he gives the caddy $600. He's a really generous, wonderful guy. Meanwhile, Tiger's still waiting to give his first tip to a valet. So I like Phil, but you're right. He totally brought this on himself, said some really stupid stuff, and now he's paying the price. Tiger is a great story, but I'm afraid it's over. The only chance I see him to win a major is St. Andrews, where it's flat and you can hit it anywhere. And those are his two weaknesses. He can't walk and he can't drive it straight. But there, he could drive it anywhere.
Yeah.
So that's to me, he's got a chance there, and then that's about it. But yeah, alpha male, we keep waiting for Justin Spieth. Jordan Spieth. We wait for Rory. We thought Dustin Johnson, who's, you know, as I say, is so dense, light bends around him. But still, he could be the dominant. Morikawa could be the next guy, but you're totally right. They need an alpha male.
Yeah. Rick Riley, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line, author of the new book, which is out on shelves now, So Help Me Golf, Why We Love the Game. Not your first foray writing a book about golf. Tell us about this one, Rick.
First of all, thank you guys for having me on before my signing there at Changing Hands in Tempe. It really helped. Oh, no, you screwed me. I had 11 people. It was like, and one guy was just there to eat the cookies. It was terrible.
I read that anecdote.
I know you had things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this book is, because, not to get serious on you, but my dad was a drunk golfer, and he'd come home. And it was hell when he would come home and we'd all have to hide. And so that was I always hated golf for that reason when I was a kid. But at 13, my brother, who's 6 years older, took me to a range and said, look, it's fun. And I have loved the game ever since. And so I started saving great, true, funny, or emotional stories. Like, have you guys ever played La Hinch in Ireland? At La Hinch in Ireland, a goat follows you around, for one thing. And for another thing, the fifth hole is a blind par three. You cannot see the green. So you got to hit it over this hill, and the drunk greenskeeper puts the rock where you're supposed to aim, but it's usually they're not the right place. But anyway, then you come around the hill and see how you did. Well, in one day, in the space of an hour and a half, four guys made holes in one, and it was the greatest night in the bar's history. And the bartender's making more money in a single night because everybody, you know, per tradition, has to buy everybody drinks.
Right.
And the whole town is in there and all the caddies. I think even the goat is having a drink. And it's the greatest night ever until the bartender's wife comes marching through the front door with their 6-year-old son. And she marches the kid by his ear behind the bar. And she says to the kid, you tell your da what you've been doing this fine day, you rascal. And the kid goes, oh, I've been putting golf balls in the little hole.
Oh, what a story that is.
No, so it's that kind of story.
Just oh, that is stories. Great.
They're about the length of my columns. And some of it is about my screwed up life and how it finally got straightened out. And some of it is about some amazing, like, did you know in the 70s there was a guy robbing banks on tour?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, this guy named was Ricky Meisner. And every time he'd miss a cut, he'd get mad, put on a disguise, change his license plates and rob a bank in order to stay on tour. In 77, he led the Tallahassee Open for the first day. He was ahead of, you know, great players. And he said later in prison, I thought that would be when I could finally give up robbing banks. But instead he went 78, 80, 78, the full John Daly, and got mad, robbed a bank the next week without the disguise and went to jail for 25
years. Wow. All right,
he led the tour in money without ever winning a game.
All right, before I get to my last question, I want to apologize. I didn't know we did you dirty, but at least that guy was waiting there for the cookies. He had a good selection of cookies to choose from.
God, well, I know. You had some son's problems.
Yeah, we did have some issues with that. All right, here's the last question. Tell the story when you were determined to go get yourself a hole-in-one and you were going to golf as long as it took to do it. I love that story.
Well, it started with this goddamn nun. There was a 92-year-old nun who made a hole-in-one on her first day playing golf, and I'd never had one, and I'd been playing since I was 13, and I got sick of it. And so my buddy let me sort of rent his par 3 golf course, which nobody was playing because it was the heat of the summer. And I decided I was going to keep playing until I made a damn hole-in-one. And I hit 10 balls per tee box. My son was out there with a first baseman's glove, and I was paying him $12 an hour. And we go 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., nothing. So he's like, I said, Jake, you got to come back tomorrow. I'm like, oh, Dad, come back the next day. We go all through lunch, no, nothing. Finally, at 1:54 p.m. on the 794th try, one goes in, And I come running into the bar, and we go crazy. I'm like, I'm going to buy you a drink. There's one guy sitting at the bar. And he goes, why? What'd you do? I said, I made a hole-in-one. He said, how far? I said, 51 yards. And he goes, well, that's not a regulation hole-in-one. It has to be 100. I'm like, dude, I got a kid with a baseball glove. I'm hitting 10 shots a tee. What part of regulation do you think I give
him? That's great. Boy, that is great.
Oh, that sounds like a great
yeah,
read.
I can't wait to get into
it. It's called So Help Me Golf, Why We Love the Game by Rick Reilly. Rick, thanks so much for joining us. You can get that, by the way, Amazon, or it's on shelves at bookstores everywhere. Best of luck thanks, with the guys. Book, Rick.
Thank you, Riles.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick Reilly. You joined us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. Coming up next, as expected, Kyler Murray. Not showing up to the day one of OTAs.
Uh-oh.
Voluntary OTAs. We'll react to it next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bickley and Murata Mornings on this Monday, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. Thanks again to Rick Reilly for joining us. In case you are just
that
joining
was fun.
Us. Yeah, it sounds like a fun read, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was fun. He's a fun dude.
Kyler Murray will not be at OTAs today. Who will be there, the Wolf and Luke show, following us at 10. They'll be broadcasting from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center. They'll have some players in. Kyler Murray will not be one of those players because he won't be there. And we kind of we were bracing for this today when we started the show. May 23rd, start of day one, week one of voluntary OTAs for the Cardinals. And considering everything that has transpired, at least verbally and in the back and forth, you had to assume that Kyler Murray wouldn't be there. So it's not shocking, but now it reaches a different level of conversation.
It does. It shows his resoluteness and his resolve to get what he wants before he plays football. Now, I'm not sure this is going to have any net effect, but if Kyler Murray decides to peace out on all 3 weeks of voluntary workouts, you know, that's 9 days of practice with the football team that could have been used growing leadership, chemistry. Mm-hmm. If they are installing more wrinkles or different wrinkle to the offense, it matters. It's not a deal breaker, but it matters.
Oh, it's time that you won't get back.
Yeah, that right. Good way of putting
it. So it's day one today. And the report from Adam Schefter when he put it out on Twitter earlier today was that he won't be there this week. So that's 3 days of the nine scheduled. So you're missing 33% of the time.
And if he's not here this week, you have to think he's not going to be here.
I mean, the voluntary tag doesn't go away until the end of that third week. But again, and I'll go as far to assume that he won't be there. Until it's mandatory.
Yeah.
So Ian
isn't that exactly how David Johnson handled his situation?
That's exactly right.
He missed all the voluntary time, and when it was mandatory, he showed up.
You're really pushing me towards doing some song parodies. I love it, Vinny. Now, Ian Rappaport was on the Pat McAfee show just now, giving sort of a further update on Kyler and sort of opinion on what this all means.
I think they are fine. I think they are on the same page. I think they are moving forward together. Like, he's going to be there. He's going to be the Cardinals quarterback this year. He's going to play probably great. And I would imagine they're going to be probably do what they've done the last 3 years, which is take a little bit of a step forward and be a little bit of a better team than they were last year when they were also, especially for the beginning part of the season, very good. They just aren't there yet when it comes to a contract. And I think this summer is probably a better timetable as far as when it might get done. So he's obviously not going to show up. Anyone with a contract unsettled is not going to put himself in harm's way.
He has to go to mandatory, though, right? Doesn't he? He has to go to minicamp at the end of this whole thing?
He'll be at mandatory, I think. How much he'll do, I don't know. Again, like, I'm sure what players have done, and you're right, like, this used to be a bigger deal. Now, I don't think anybody really cares that much, except if it's not being there for a reason. I'm not sure how much he'll actually do during minicamp, but my guess is he would probably not like to get fined, so I assume he'll be there.
All right, there's a lot of mixed messaging in that report right there, and let me try to shovel some of that out. Don't sit there and tell me that they're great, because if something is going to get done, and it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to get done, then why waste this time sitting out these practices? What is the point of that? If everything,
or why not just get it done?
Or why not just get it done? Yeah. If it's a matter of having the money there And I wouldn't know. I don't know why Michael Bidwill wouldn't, as owner of this football team. But let's say that there's been a lot of other expenditures, including a team plane, and he doesn't quite have that money to throw into escrow right now, and he needs a little additional time for whatever reasons. Then why can't that be conveyed? Why can't you get a deal done and sit on it and bring this kid in?
But,
so this that to me sounds like somebody on the Cardinals telling Ian Rappaport, this is fine. There's nothing happening here.
All is well.
All is well.
I'm not shooting an arrow at you when I ask this question, because you're not the only person that's brought it up in terms of finances. And it was kind of a big story when Michael Bidwill bought a team plane.
Mm-hmm.
But if buying a team plane is going to, you know, put a damper on your ability to pay your players, then you probably shouldn't have bought the plane.
I
don't think that's an issue.
You know, you're probably right. It's probably a little superfluous of me to lump that in. You're probably right about that. But it is a gigantic number that you got to cover for.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
What do you make of this, Bob?
What does that plane count against the cap?
This Bob McManaman quote tweeted Adam Schefter, said, I'm out at Cardinals OTAs right now, and when the team takes the field in 20 minutes, I doubt we'll see Kyler. Stranger things have happened, though.
I mean, is Adam Schefter getting had?
I don't know. That's just was weird. I don't know how you could say it's not anything, because it is something, or else you'd be there.
It is something.
The part is absolutely right about that. The part in the cut where he goes, and they talk about the mandatory minicamp, and he goes, well, I'm sure. I won't say I'm sure he's going to be there. He's probably going to be there.
But again, the mixed messaging that you brought up, starting that conversation, Ian Rappaport, and I'm not attacking him either, but I hear everything's great between them. And then what Jarrett brought up, if it's so great and it's a foregone conclusion, why are you... Again, you know, putting a speed bump in front of the growth of your quarterback and your offense moving forward, if it's going to happen anyway.
Exactly. That's the part that doesn't make one bit of sense.
You can't tell us that voluntary OTAs are important on one hand and then unimportant on the other hand.
Right. That's the part of the poll where it's like you could be mad at the Cardinals at all this. Because if the deal is going to, if you're positive the deal is going to get done, why not get it done before all these workouts so that he could be there?
So you can max this out so that you can use this time to actually grow, to actually solve the issues that we saw last year.
Are they so afraid of upsetting the normal timeline of how these things go done?
But that's just so
for the sake of the NFL or whatever?
But again, there have been a lot of quarterbacks who've already been extended.
But yeah, why are you, if that's the case, why are the Cardinals upset about or worried about upsetting the apple cart? What Cleveland did upset the apple cart a heck of a lot more than what the Cardinals could possibly do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It blew up the quarterback market for a guy who's, you know, still not out of the weeds when it comes to the legal ramifications.
No, and he just snapped at a photographer.
Oh, by the way, Deshaun Watson's victims, several of them will be interviewed on HBO's Real Sports.
I saw that. So
they're not expecting it to go well for Deshaun Watson.
No, and Dave Dameshek tweeted out something about Deshaun Watson that kind of rattled between my brain, and Dave's a great friend of the program. He tweeted out that he once asked a question about Trevor Lawrence maybe topping his legacy at Clemson. Innocuous question. And apparently he found out 2 years later that Deshaun Watson was livid at him for asking a question like that. It's like, oh, and Dave's response was, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't coddle you enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know where that whole thing is going, but the more Deshaun Watson does stuff like that, the more the NFL is going to try to, oh, no, that was a mistake. We're not doing that again.
Mm-hmm. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. I want to remind you, too, that Arizona Sports and True Spec Golf are teeing up Dad this Father's Day. Text Dad to 620-620 for your chance to win a full bag of custom fit clubs courtesy of True Spec Golf. That is Dad to 620-620 to get entered. Coming up next, final thoughts on this Monday. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
We'll be right back.
All right, today's song of the day, in honor of Tiger Woods, Eye of the Tiger. Can I tell you a funny golf story before we move on?
Haven't we had our share of funny golf stories tonight?
we've certainly had more than we normally have. John Daly was also a story at the last PGA Championship because he was in the lead for a brief time at the very beginning of it.
Yeah, Thursday.
And so that had people, you know, and then he was seen at a casino playing slots.
With a pack of cigs.
With a pack of cigarettes. It brought out a great story from a guy who used to cover John Daly, who one day he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow this freak show around the course for 18 holes. And I'm going to chart and note what he consumes. You want to know what the final tally was?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Over 18 holes, he had 21 cigarettes. He had 12 Diet Cokes. He had 6 packs of peanut M&Ms. Okay. And 0.0 ounces of water.
What? There's water on Diet Coke.
Yeah, right.
Wow. And that's in one round?
That's in one round.
Holy moly.
21 what? Smokes, 12 Diet Cokes, 6 packs of M&Ms.
I can get behind that last part.
I could get probably 5 Diet Cokes in on a round of golf.
I have not had 5 good Diet afterwards. Cokes in my entire life.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
I give him
Could
credit
never drink
that he,
diet soda.
He's really leaned into being John Daly.
Leaned? Oh, yeah. That's not a word you use with John Daly. But you're right. He's
like,
really
like
leaned
now he has
into
the
it.
Big Santa Claus beard.
Uh-huh.
He wears the
belly.
Crazy pants uh-huh. and outfits a big belly.
Uh-huh.
You know, sucking down heaters on the golf course.
He's a cottage industry unto himself.
He's a cottage unto himself.
He's an American
he's closest,
treasure.
He's the closest thing we have to Happy Gilmore.
He's an American treasure.
And that makes him okay with me. So that was a way to get into that. Little Tiger, Eye of the Tiger by Survivor.
For John Daly. Let's dedicate it to John Daly.
Still pumps
That's
me
the
up.
Eye of the Tiger
we
right
find
there,
an Eminem song.
That's a Survivor.
Right there. We could have done that.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
A couple things we wanted to get to today. We had to, with the Kyler Murray news, we kind of eschewed hardware today.
Mm-hmm.
I can mention some of it. Hardware normally brought to you by Revitalize, by the way.
All right.
Just doing it in a different package today. The Dallas Mavericks bench is becoming a story in these playoffs. They got fined again for the third time for bench decorum, $100,000. They've now been docked $175,000, basically for standing up the whole time. And there was a reporter, Brad Townsend of the Dallas Morning News, reported last Thursday there was speculation among the Mavs organization that the reason why the NBA levied the second fine was because there were Suns employees who were seated behind the Dallas bench that were upset that they couldn't see the game because they stood up the whole game. Then why were they fined against Golden State again? Sit the hell down. I get it. You want to be up and you want to be encouraging mm-hmm. to your team, but they never sit down and they're on the court half the time.
Yeah. That was a question that was lobbed at Jason Kidd a couple of times throughout the Sun series, and each time he kind of answered it with, hey, the NBA is really choosing some dumb battles to fight here. I think this is a Mark Cuban thing. I think Mark Cuban's agreed to pay this. I think Mark Cuban likes the esprit de corps and is footing the bill for it.
Absolutely. And it's another way for them to open up the Mark Cuban versus the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the Maverick owner in more ways than one.
Right, exactly.
He loves that stuff.
Yes, he does.
But a fine is not going to take care of it. It's actually an issue. And Jalen Brunson almost got hurt in Game 7, by the way, against the Suns. Because somebody was going down the Suns down that sideline right in front of the Mavericks bench, and he was out of the game, but somebody rolled right into his legs. Is that how you're going to learn your lesson? I mean, they only have to worry about it for one more game, but and I guess that's a way for Theo Pinson to actually be mentioned in a basketball discussion. So good for him. Patrick Beverley, the self-proclaimed best defender and leader in the NBA. Did you see the league's voting results for the all-defensive teams when they came out on Friday? Patrick Beverley finished directly behind a cone.
Oh,
in the voting.
I love that.
Chris Paul got 2 first-place votes and 21 total points. Patrick Beverly had one first place vote and 9 total points.
That was one of the small silver lining victories since the end of basketball season, was Chris Paul being honored like that.
But I was having a discussion with a buddy of mine, too. Mikal Bridges, it has not happened often in Phoenix Suns history to have a player as a first-team all-defensive pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the second most points of anybody, which kind of lines up with his runner-up for defensive player of the year. And because of the disappointment at the end of the season, nobody cares. And it's almost it pokes at Suns fans like, ugh, they were this good and they couldn't win. Again, I really hope they review when they give out awards. And
how does that Coach of the Year award feel?
Yeah, the Coach of the Year award, the MVP award to Jokic 2 years in a row. Mikal Bridges getting first-team All-NBA, which, congratulations, he had a wonderful year. But there's got to be some luster taken off that because of the timing of when they announced it.
Yes, and then it also puts the recipient in a very bad place because then it creates all this backlash to somebody who was given an award. The person didn't. Monty Williams did not ask for that award. It was given to him, and now he's going to deal with if he is going to. Is that fair? It's the same thing with Nikola Jokic.
Yeah,
he didn't ask to be MVP. I'm sure he'd not give it back.
If it's a regular season award, announce it right at the end of the regular season, and don't let it interfere into the playoffs.
Yep, exactly.
And I had this. I came across this in an article on The Athletic, Bick. Mike Vorkunov from The Athletic did a piece at the NBA Draft Combine just about interviews and prospects talking to different teams.
Mm-hmm.
Wake Forest guard Alondis Williams was at the NBA Draft Combine in Chicago, and he went into an interview with the Golden State Warriors, was wearing a T-shirt with an image of Pablo Escobar on it. A Warriors official asked Williams if he was going to let the Escobar shirt represent him since it was the team's first time meeting him and how it reflects on him, and he had no answer. Would you wear a Pablo Escobar T-shirt into a job interview?
I don't think he probably knew who he was.
That's got to be...
You're going into a job interview. Wear something that you know the meaning of.
Are you sure it wasn't Vinny Chase in Medellin that he was wearing?
That's funny. I'm stunned by that. I'm really stunned by that.
Yeah, that really makes no sense.
Yeah.
Why would you wear a shirt that you don't understand the meaning?
Right.
And if you do understand, why would you wear it in that setting?
It's cool looking, I guess.
Was your Scarface shirt taken? Was it dirty?
I was just t-shirt shopping this weekend, and I came across something on the discount rack. It was just a white t-shirt with the Cocoa Puffs logo on it.
Okay.
And I thought, that's kind of a funny shirt.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, what if there's some hidden meaning that I don't know?
What if people think you're cuckoo?
Yeah, you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, man. Aren't we all?
Truly.
Truly.
Oh, that is going to do it for us on this Monday.
Nick Foles signed with the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, did that happen?
Oh, no breaking news sounder for Nick Foles? Come on, Jarrett.
Big Nick energy.
Thanks to Dave Pasch for joining us, as well as Rick Riley. Thanks to you for hanging out as well. More on the Kyler Murray absence from OTAs, and more on the guys that did show up to OTAs. This is Wolf and Luke with Paul Calvisi live from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center. Coming up next here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We'll see you.